It's time for Radio Ringside, returning to Melbourne Airwaves with Peter Maniatis, four-time Victorian Boxing Promoter of the Year, one reigning Asian Boxing Promoter of the Year, and also, of course, now esteemed boxing manager, and has in his charge world champion Randy Petal-Corrin. Good evening to you, Peter.
Good evening, Finey, and as we say, another big show in front of us.
And, of course, where there's a big show, there's always three of us who are some wonderful knowledge, depth of knowledge in the world of boxing, written for eastsideboxing.com. Good evening to you, Sri.
Good evening, Finey, and yeah, excited about tonight's show.
Well, one of the reasons we're excited is because we have another big fight night planned for Melbourne, and of course, when we talk about big fight nights here, we need some of the big names in the sport, and Danny Green, who so successfully fought here only a couple of months ago, is going to be back in town to fight a man who's just fought for a world championship. Good evening to you, Danny.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're well, and the opponents get no less credentialed and no easier. Tell us about your next opponent, once again slated for Hisense Arena, I think early December.
Yeah, boys. Can you hear me very well?
I'm just yeah, yep.
Jim just finished training, so there's a bit of noise going on. But his fight was just over 6 weeks ago for the WBA light heavyweight world title against Jürgen Brammer, and he's ranked now. He was at number 7, but he's number 12 in the WBA. But look, you know, there's fighters out there that are much, you know, more, I guess, well known. And, you know, I could try and, well, I couldn't fight for the world title because I don't have a ranking. And also, I'm not a light heavyweight. I'm not really, and it's kind of obvious, my weight down much as I can to see what I can get to. So, yeah, and people kind of always talk about catch weight, how I've done catch weight a lot. Look at Floyd Mayweather, Manny Pacquiao, Oscar De La Hoya, all the fighters that, you know, we're talking about the top fighters in the world. I'm not putting myself in the back and just saying that's who they are and that's what they do. They all do it and they've done it forever, as far, you know, back as far as Spinks and Hearns and Hagler and Duran and Sugar Ray Leonard. They've all fought catch weight. So there's no advantage or disadvantage. It's what is fair between the both fighters. And, you know, I'm trying to bring my weight down. And Conrad, he's fought, you know, he'll make the weight comfortably and I'll have to, you know, struggle to make the weight. So, therefore, it's going to be a you know, the weight Tom be fair. Tom was fight put on a lot of weight. But the weight anyway, boys, because my stomach shrunk and I traditionally have never put on, you know, more than 2 or 3 kilos after a weigh-in. So, that's how it'll be. I'll probably walk in the ring at about maybe 84, 85 kilograms after weighing in at about 83, or less than 83 kilograms. So look, I'll see how it goes, but I'm very, very excited about, you know, getting back to Melbourne. I can't wait. If I sound like I'm half asleep because they're two hard sessions, but I only just finished one. And, yeah, Connie Conrad, 22-2, he's only 30 years old. And his last fight was against the world champion, and he knows what to do with himself.
Danny, it's great to see you come back to the ring pretty soon after your last fight, which was on August 19. So it'll be a little over 3 months by the time you hit the ring on December 2nd. Looking at how you came to deciding on Connie Conrad, so were you looking at fighting a light heavyweight at a catch weight, or were you looking at fighting a cruiserweight at a catch weight? What was the line of thinking in choosing Conrad?
We looked, and our matchmaker Don Majewski, you know, he came with us. Look, because we've had some offers from Christian Meyer and the guys over there in Europe who look after, you know, Jürgen Brammer, and they also looked after.
We're just losing you there, Danny.
Sorry, can you hear me now, boys?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Sorry, I'll just go up here. Can you hear me? I'm just in my gym. It's pretty bad reception. I'll go outside, boys. Hang on.
Oh, you're a beauty.
So, there we go. Is that better?
A lot better.
It's like you're next door. Boys.
Are you here, Danny? Where are you?
Oh, hey, nice jacket, Pete. Fucking Pete. We had a call from Don Majewski. He said, look, Southland, you know, the mob there and Christian Meyer, I fought in Germany in 2003 and 2005, and they said, look, this could be a possibility for a shot coming up if you're ranked, and we'd like to entertain the idea. So. For one of their fighters, so there's a possibility there. So that, you know, Conrad, this bloke's just fought Jürgen Brammer for the WBA title, and they know that I'm. Look, it's my last fight against Valenti was difficult because it was a late change, but you know, I'm a fighter, and that should make a difference. And he had the same, he didn't realise he was going to be fighting, although he was obviously in top shape from fighting 3 weeks earlier for the South American title. And he was difficult, boys. You know, he didn't throw a lot of punches. He was awkward. Every time he went to set, I would fire a jab off and make him reset. And I wanted to exchange and to trade, but it just made it very hard. And inside, he was so strong. Everyone's an expert, and from the outside, look, I've seen the fight, and it wasn't the most exciting, entertaining bout because it was a technical bout, and it was wild and unpredictable. And I didn't want to get tagged and didn't want to, you know, have my comeback end in disaster. And so I was just happy to score the points and be victorious like almost every other fighter does out there. And every now and then I'd get a bit loose and a bit wild, and my clan Angelo go, "Granny, pull your head in, don't be so stupid, we've got a lot at stake here." So I was happy to get the victory, and I would have liked a much better fight. And I think Conrad's he possesses a style that's going to give us a harder fight, and as far as we're going to trade a lot more blows, and it's going to be a more exciting contest, one that I'm going to enjoy a lot. But, you know, he's got a European style, but he's got a very aggressive European style. He lets him go. His hands are up high. He's got a good guard, good defence, and then he lets his punches go pretty wild. And hopefully that's where we want to capitalise when he's letting his punches go. Hopefully I'll be able to counterpunch and bring him on a couple and be victorious. That's the plan, boys, and keep on moving forward. But, you know, I know I'm not getting younger, and this guy's a younger man. He's, you know, he's been around the ring and a lot. And, yeah, I've just got to be cool, be smart, listen to my trainer, and do what I've got to do, and win the fight.
Danny, it's a trademark now of yours. Whenever you come into town, you always groom all the best fighters in Australia on your undercard. And I have been fortunate to see the undercard. There's four title fights. It's going to be a stacked, massive card. In all honesty, I haven't seen a better undercard in Melbourne, period. It's just so stacked with the Maloney boys, Jade Mitchell, Ryan Breeze, Terry Zeromanis. It's just absolute talented fighters coming from everywhere. It's a credit to Angelo Hyde and Tony Tolch for putting stuff like that on together. And, I mean, for $65, people should just get the ticket tech and book a ticket pretty quick because the undercard is absolutely stacked.
Yeah, thanks, Pete. And, you know, you've been a great help, mate, in the last fight. And as always, mate, you've been a great supporter of the sport of boxing, not just in Melbourne, but across the country. And, you know, providing, you know, your fighters to help make the sport what it is and help fighters as well get along. So, mate, appreciate your support always, Pete. And, yeah, the card's great. The two Maloney boys are just fantastic kids, and they've got a big future. And we really want to try and help them achieve their dreams. You know, the father, Darryl's very passionate. And the boys, they really are top-notch young fellas. Same with Jade Mitchell. He's a classic young guy and a very good fighter, and his father, Lenny, and him are a close unit. And, you know, they're very, you know, very professional how they go about their business. Ryan Breeze is a young guy I'm looking forward to seeing fight, and the other guys you mentioned, as well as Mitchell Clark as well. He's on the undercard, mate. There's some really great fights. The Maloney boys are fighting for, one of them's fighting for a world ranking, and one of them's fighting for the Australian title. And, yeah, it's going to be a great card, and I'm just happy to be able to try and blood the young guys in Melbourne. You know, if I go to Melbourne, I want to try and put on all Melbourne fights so that their fans get to see them and hopefully they get a following, because I'm not in this game forever, as we know. I haven't got long to go, and I want to be able to help these guys and help promote these guys and help them steer them to where they want to go in their careers, and hopefully they help them, you know, achieve their dreams just like I did. And, you know, I was helped along my career with people that helped me throughout my career. And, you know, I haven't forgotten that, and, you know, it's what I guess I've got to do.
Danny, and now for the fighter that you always comes up in conversation whenever an interview is held with you, Anthony Mundine. So Anthony's got a fight on November 11th in Melbourne, which will be against Charles Hatley, the American, which will be fought at junior middleweight, so just a shade under 70 kilos. You'll be fighting 3 weeks later at around 83 kilos. In terms of a fight occurring, say, next year between the two of you guys, how realistic is it to come to some sort of compromise in deciding an appropriate weight for the two of you to do battle?
It's extremely realistic. It's very simple. He walks around about 78 kilograms. He doesn't walk around at 69 kilograms. That's a myth. 69.9 kilograms, I think the weight limit is. So 70 kegs, that's cool. There's 13 keg difference between this weigh and my between his weigh and my weigh in 3 weeks later. But he walks around about 78. By the time I weigh in at 83 kilograms, I'll be walking around about 84, 85 max. So there's only about, you know, call it, let's say, 7 kilograms difference between the two of us. By the time we weigh in, he just has to come up 2 or 3 kilos. I come down to the same limit. There's 2 kilograms difference between us. please don't tell me that's a great difference. Please don't listen to the radio and to the hype and what you read in the papers. There is not a 13 kilogram difference in us naturally. When we both weigh in, when he's sucked himself dry and dehydrated himself and zapped every ounce of fat off his body, and he's a very disciplined guy to be able to do that. And I take my hat off to the bloke because it must be tough. And look, make no mistake, Chock and I don't see eye to eye. He's a great athlete. He's a disciplined character. And what he does, I admire him for the passion he's got for his sport. And, you know, he's been a fantastic athlete. But I think I'm a better fighter. And I want the chance to prove that. And it's simple. The people want to see it. Once again, I haven't called Chock out. Don't make a mistake thinking I'm here going, hey, bang, bang, bang. But this is I'm in one corner giving the public what they want to see. And as a fighter, he knows that this is the most exciting fight out there. He knows this is the only fight that's going to be worth his time and his efforts. You know, sucking himself dry to achieve a dream of fighting someone that's just simply not going to fight him. Good luck to you, mate. And you know, I wish you all the best, but it's not realistic. And number two, it doesn't make business sense. Fighting me makes business sense. He knows that. And everyone else knows that. But, you know, and 10 years ago we fought. I'm pretty kind of tired of answering. I believe I'm a better fighter, and I believe that I will defeat him. And I think he knows that, and hence the reason he has ran from the rematch for 10 years. Nearly 10 years.
We're going to cut a bit of that and get him on next week and throw it at him again. Danny, between that happening, if it does happen, there's certainly at least one fight. That's Connie Conrad, and he's a serious, serious opponent. We wish you all the best. We'll keep reminding our listeners how to get to that fight. The first fight at High Sense was a real success, and this one on paper reads better. So look forward to having you back in town early December, big fella.
Much appreciated, boys. Thanks very much, and have a great night. And just once again to all the crew at Melbourne, just thanks so much for the love and support and hospitality I'm always showing over there. Can't wait to get back there, you know, in November and start training and training camp and come back and see you guys. And hopefully looking forward to putting on a great show on the 2nd of December. Cheers, guys.
It'll be good to have somebody from the West Coast come over and win, because that didn't happen.
Low blow.
A point off, Finey.
Give it, deduct a point for that one, mate.
No, already deducted a point. It's okay.
Good on you, boys.
Good on you, mate.
Thanks, Danny.
Danny Green there, West Coast fan, and we're a fan of his. A break. And when we come back, Michael Zarafa went over to the USA to fight Peter Quillen, and it was a brutal end to a brave show, and we're very pleased that we're going to be able to talk to him after the break. Welcome back to Radio Ringside. Trying to touch base with Michael Zarafa. Hopefully we'll do that very shortly. But there's been some big boxing over the weekend, including Triple G, Gennady Golovkin taking on Lemieux. And he comes into the fight, Golovkin, as probably the most devastating boxer on the planet. How does he leave the fight, Sri?
With a very good impression. Many saying that it was his best career performance to date. He now improves his record to 34-0 with 31 KOs, arguably pound for pound number one. David Lemieux certainly came into the fight with hopes for bringing some real action to it, and he did that, and he certainly proved a real capable opponent, but certainly unable to dismantle Triple G, who dominated Lemieux all the way to an eighth round stoppage victory.
Look, the sport now has a wrecking ball called Gennady Golovkin. He is surely now the pound for pound best boxer on the planet as we speak, sit here today.
There was a wrecking ball on the undercard, finally. Roman Gonzalez, he fought Brian Valoria. He's 43-0, and he's technically
what
the
weight
best
division
out
is
there.
He?
He's a flyweight. He was a junior. He was in Randy's division. We got offered to fight him 4 years ago in Japan.
Are you ready to take him on?
Yeah, we are, pretty soon. I mean, give it a next year and a half, Randy will fight him if he's available. We got offered to fight 4 years ago in Japan, but the money wasn't worth what the fight was in front of him, because the guy, I mean, he's pound for pound now the best fighter in the world. I'm not sure what Valoria would have got on the weekend, but I'm pretty confident Randy had beat Valoria, and Valoria went 9 rounds, so it's one of those tough fights in front of him. If the money's right and the opportunity, risk versus reward, you take it.
Who's Golovkin's next opponent, Sri?
Well, he's looking to fight the winner of Canelo and Cotto. So that would be next year. I think it's time for him to step up to a major event. I think all the fights he's had, really the biggest name on his resume probably is Daniel Gill. So I think next, when you look at next year, the time is right to really step up to that real pay-per-view class, one of the biggest names in the world type fight.
And then we could have a new number one man in the sport when it comes to, obviously, not only prize money, but also pay-per-views and just general interest. People are pretty engaged with Triple G. Our man Michael Zarafa, such a brave fighter. When he travelled to Russia to fight, he fought his heart out and just got beaten. And at short notice, he took a fight in the US on a Friday night televised fight night against a world champ, a world-class boxer, former world champ, Peter Quillen?
Yep, former WBO world champ.
And for four rounds, he fought a brave fight, fought a good fight, because he was fighting against a much bigger man. After weigh-in, Quillen blew out to a
cruiserweight.
Much bigger man, and he copped one in the fifth. There were concerns. He's back in town, and we are very, very pleased to be able to speak to him tonight. Good evening, Michael.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Good. Mate, great to hear you, because that was a pretty devastating way to end a fight. It caused a fair bit of discussion here, not only about whether or not you should have taken that fight at short notice, but also about the disparity between a fighter's weight at weigh-in and what he can take the ring as. You were fighting a man two divisions above yours in weight, it would be fair to say.
Yeah, well, it was pretty disappointing, the end result. You know, I mean, it was pretty scary to be, you know, knocked out of my first belt. But like I said, the experience was unbelievable. To step in the ring to fight, you know, one of the world's best at 23 years old is a huge achievement. It's just made me hungrier to fight bigger and better. But, you know, the 22-pound weight division difference was, you know, was crazy. But like I said, we went out there and we had a job to do, and you know, we didn't want to have any excuses, so we went out there and did the best we could. And unfortunately, yeah, it was just hard to fight a guy such, you know, more weight than myself. So
you don't want any excuses, but it's actually wrong, and it's something that the fight game has always allowed. Weigh in is weigh in, and then the big blow that comes with a big feed thereafter, often it's liquid and water deprivation that has seen a boxer make weight. Do you think the sport needs to look at it? Because that sort of imbalance and that sort of in a fight, which is a serious matter, can have long-term devastating effects.
Yeah, you know, like it was we were in shock, you know, myself and the team, you know, to see, you know, just at the weigh-in, to weigh in at 72 kilos even, you know, with like myself, and then the next day, me putting only a kilo and a half on, 2 kilos max, and him putting on, you know, 22 pounds, which he weighed in, like I said, two divisions heavier, which can be pretty dangerous. Like I said, I agree they need to put a rule in there where, you know, maybe five or 10 pounds or something like that, you know, because it can get dangerous and fighters could get hurt. You know what I mean?
Michael, let's go over the fight, because you're doing beautifully, and I mean, you're looking comfortable in there. You're bouncing around. Everything was going great. That moment in the fifth round, you were kind of in the corner and you started attacking Quinlan. What was your game plan at that moment, and how did you feel leading up to that moment? What was going through your mind? Did you feel you could take him that moment? Did you see something where you started attacking him? What was the reason there?
Yeah, like we knew he had power, so we tried to stay away from him early. You know, the skill level, there wasn't much difference. I felt that I could, when I did throw and commit, I could land. And, you know, even he said himself after the fight that we were outboxing him. It was just when I hit him with a nice right hand, I saw, you know, he take a backward step, and I thought, you know, I'll try to put a little bit more pressure on. And as I took that initiative, you know, he got me with a big left hook. And like I said, the weight advantage, just I felt a lot more than the average boys I've been sparring. And you know, wobbled me a little bit, and as I tried to get out, you know, he just hit me with a big right hand, and I was off balance, and you know, I tried to get back up, and it was just, yeah, it was all over. So it was unfortunate, but like I said, our game plan was just to box him and try to make him miss and make him pay, which we felt was working up until that moment.
Yeah, you certainly put in a creditable performance, Michael. In the aftermath of the fight, given the nature of the result, there certainly was a backlash in terms of the matchup as it stood between yourself and Quillen in terms of whether it's a mismatch or whatever between the skill levels of you two guys. How did you view the contest and any negative thoughts like that?
You know, leading up to the fight, there was a lot of negative people saying what they want to say. But like I said, at the end of the day, these up-and-comers like myself and a few of the other boys in middleweight division, you know, if the big-name fighters aren't going to give us, you know, a shot at what they're at, you know what I mean? Like these Mundines and all these other big-name fighters, you know, they've got to give us a shot. You know what I mean? How are we ever going to be number one if we never get to fight them, you know? And it was a big ask for me, and I knew it was, you know, a very, very hard fight, and all odds were against me travelling across the world, you know, fighting a former world champion and someone who was undefeated. But like I said, I'll fight anyone. I've said it a number of times, and I want to be the best, to fight the best. So I'm just glad I got the opportunity. And all these other guys that are hiding, you know what I mean, they need to give us up-and-comers a shot and let us prove ourselves.
That was my next question, Michael, because you've travelled to Moscow minus 12 conditions and fought for a WBO World Youth title. Now you've travelled to America and fought in Connecticut up against Peter Quillen, former undefeated world champion. So you're taking these massive risks on the road. Now you come back to Australia, and you mentioned Mundine. I mean, there'd be no fear for yourself now to challenge Mundine, would there?
100%. That's a fight I've wanted for so long. You know, a lot of people would laugh, you know, hearing that. But like I said, I fought Peter Quillen. I fought another world champion as well. So. You know, Mundine, if he is listening, you know what I mean, it's definitely a fight that I want. I've wanted for ages, and you know, give me a shot. Let me prove myself, and I do believe I can beat him and knock him off his pedestal, and that's what I want to do. So, you know, any promoter or anyone interested in that fight, I'll be 100% down to fight him.
Michael, you've fought now. You've had an interesting career because you fought local cards at, you know, town halls and the like, and you fought on undercards of Fox Sports Nights, and now you've headlined a Premier Boxing Champions card against a former world champion. What type of event do you see yourself competing in your next fight?
You know, like I said, I've fought on the big stage now, and like I said, you've got to take it fight by fight. You can't get and greedy and try to fight, you know, on the big stage every time. So you take it fight by fight. But I think my next fight's going to be December 4th on a Power Play promotion, Joe Nader Show. You know, they've got me a tough opponent there too. But like I said, I'm taking baby steps. I don't want to overwork myself. But I want to, like I said, I want to reload and go back over to America or anyone, and like I said, fight the best. So like I said, I just want to prove to everyone that I'm capable of doing that.
What were the medicals after the fight against Quillen? Obviously, you were knocked out.
Yeah.
Was there a concussion there that required some days convalescing? Because sometimes those knockouts aren't as bad as they seem from a medical standpoint.
There was more of a procedure. Like I said, after the, like when I got hit, you know, all credit to Quillen. There was no chance of me getting back up. I did try to get back up, but, you know, my legs were gone, and they laid me down, and I was talking, I was responsive. They just said, just for procedures, you know, we'll put a neck brace on and carry out. Like half an hour after that, I was out. You know, I was all sweat. I was in the back rooms. I was all dressed up and mingling in with the crowd. So I was fine. You know, I had a bit of a headache, but that was about it. Nothing major. But yeah, they just made it out a lot more serious than what it actually was.
Well, we're very grateful and thankful that you've made it back in. Good, Nick. Good luck for December. And we're going to have Mundine on next week. Danny Green called him out. We're going to play both your audio and his audio and get a response.
Let him know because I definitely want that fight. And like I said, I'm 23 years old. I'm the up-and-comer, and I want a shot. I want a shot. You know, he calls himself the best. You know, how can you do that if you haven't fought anyone, you know, when you haven't fought everyone? So, you know, he hasn't fought me yet, so he can't call himself the best. So let him know that I'm ready. I'm ready to fight.
Message will be passed on. Good on you, pretty boy.
Boys. Thanks,
boys. Thanks, Michael. Michael, pretty boy's a wrap-up. A break. Welcome back. Well, there you have it. The Mundine call-out show. Two boxers calling out Mundine on the one program, Green and Zarafa.
They all want a piece of him, finally.
Everybody wants a piece of him. What? Mundine, of course, has been inactive.
I think Green's got a better chance of getting Mundine and Zarafa because, I mean, it's a bigger fight, more money, but Zarafa's too dangerous, in my opinion. It's just a dangerous fight for Mundine. I don't think he'd take it.
Well, with Mundine, he's a junior middleweight, and you've got a middleweight and a cruiserweight calling him out. So he can really stickly have four or five divisions calling him out at any time.
Any big fights to look forward to this weekend?
Not really, but you got Terence Crawford back in the ring, so that should be exciting. Hopefully he gets another win.
I want to thank you, Peter Maniatis.
Thank you, Finey.
And I want to thank you, Sri Vishwasan.
Thanks, Finey.